for hour number two of the Bible study. Last hour, I was Chuck Rafter. This hour, I'm still Chuck Rafter. That's just the way that goes. Pastor Dieterding is gone, though. That snake. And in this hour, we'll be talking with Pastor Randy Wilkin. He is affiliated with the Acts 1-8 Mission Society. He's got his Acts 1-8 Mission Society shirt on today. Also a pastor at The Rock down on Kings Highway.
Mm-hmm.
You're not traditional.
No.
And I'm not talking about liturgical or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Traditional to me is somebody who pretty much goes through the same rhythm of life most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't change
mm-hmm.
too much. But you're always doing something different. You always got something else going on.
Oh, you betcha.
Every time I see you, you've had a new experience that is probably an experience that I'll never have.
Mm-hmm.
Anything happened lately?
Let me see. Yes.
Travel somewhere, meet some new people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Story to tell?
Sure.
See, this
how
is
much
the,
time
the,
we
this
got?
This is the hard part. Well, you know, we got basically an hour here.
Yeah.
The hard part is that because Pastor Wilkin moves around in different settings and travels around and helps people build stuff and everything, then he has these encounters, and they're heartwarming, they're gut-wrenching, but a lot of the times they're private.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't give names and you can't
mm-hmm.
give too many details.
Mm-hmm.
So is there something
oh, yeah.
that you can tell us?
That's, yep, that's absolutely. We, for years now, about 12 years, we've been bringing people, young people mainly, bringing them into the city of St. Louis and having them help us with renovations, et cetera, and started a Christ in the City, you know, bringing groups in from Ohio, Pennsylvania. A young pastor from Pennsylvania came in, brought a 78-year-old man to help me hang sheetrock and insulate. And the guy was just so excited about this. And so we've been doing this for 12 years, bringing people in and having them work with us. So, we've been doing this for 12 years. Finally, last summer brought a bunch of people in, this summer brought them in, and what really happened was just amazing this summer. I've always been told, to do youth work, you have to, entertain the kids, and this is what I've always been told, that, you know, so if you bring...
that's a no-brainer. Entertain the kids.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And we have to take them to Six Flags. We have to go whitewater rafting down the Colorado River.
Yeah.
And we have to do dramatic, big, exciting things. That's what I was told. And
Because you're easily bored.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And then the other is don't keep them up talking about scriptures because you're going to lose them. And I've been also told when you preach, you only have 15 minutes, and you're going to lose people. You know, after 15 minutes of preaching. And
this is true if you're boring.
Yes, absolutely. And what's amazing is went to a couple churches just recently, preached for about 45 minutes, and after they were done, one person comes up and says, "You could have kept going. We didn't have any place to go this afternoon." And, yeah, and my point is this. It's amazing because these young people, everybody, I don't want to say everybody because that's a broad stroke, but a lot of times we dismiss these kids thinking they aren't going to want to sit around talking God stuff. So we brought a bunch of young people in this past summer, and some of them were from Oklahoma. There was a Nebraska group. There's two groups from Texas. I had one from Ohio, another one from Indiana, one from Michigan, and, in the past we've had them from Texas and Atlanta, et cetera. Now we bring them in, and this past summer I said, enough's enough. You know, if you want to entertain kids and you want to let them run around the building and, you know, play, Romans and Christians and Romans or something like that, or capture the
flag.
Yeah, basically that's it. And capture the flag and all this other stuff and sardines. And I mean, I'm not saying any of that is not good. But what we did is we sat up and talked to these kids, and we would start at about 7 o'clock at night and we'd end up 10, 11 o'clock, someplace around there. And the kids didn't want to quit. And what was amazing is they're asking unbelievably deep questions. And
like what?
Okay.
Unbelievably deep questions.
Yep. Okay.
Don't you know that American teenagers are so shallow and superficial that they're not capable of asking unbelievably deep
absolutely.
Questions?
Absolutely.
You mean I'm wrong in that assessment?
Yeah, because the kids put on the persona that you expect of them.
Really?
Yes. And so if you think they're ditzy, they're going to act ditzy just for you. And there's so much.
Then I'll leave them alone, right?
Yeah, you got exactly. You're going to leave them alone. You're not going to ask them, you know, what's really troubling you because they're going to put on a happy face and they're going to be smiling, etc. And you talk about now. I can't tell you where this young person's from, and I can't tell you what this person, young person's name is, because it was so unbelievably awesome. But when we met this young lady, she had the persona of the typical ditzy blonde. And she was very petite and very nice and wonderful young lady. And we basically had a tendency to dismiss her. Went to visit her just recently with her youth group. And at about 2 o'clock in the morning, she opened up. And all of a sudden, all the ditziness was gone. All the typical youth, you know, answers, questions, etc., were all gone. And she starts to ask questions like, you know, is it okay if we're depressed? Is it okay if once in a while we don't really believe in God? Is it okay if, you know, if I really have doubts and questions? But yet this was from somebody that if you had met her, you would have thought, wow, you know, this is a super Christian, super, you know.
Got it together.
Oh, absolutely. Didn't. And just broke down at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Just met with a bunch of young people.
How do you stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning with young people? That's my problem.
I'm old.
I'm old and I can't do that.
I know. I'm old. And also, they tell you, see, you're too old to identify with these kids. You got to be young like they are. Do you know what the truth is? These kids don't want young, hip, happening people.
I actually already knew that.
Oh.
There are a lot of things I don't know, but.
Yeah.
I know they don't like that. They don't like old people acting like.
Exactly. What they want, they don't want friends. They want somebody that they can actually ask a question to and get a true answer. Not your typical.
They want truth.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Not your Sunday school answer.
Well, we all want truth.
Yeah.
Not your Sunday school answer. What does that mean?
Well, you know, just your typical, we'll go over it. God will take care of it. You know, he'll make things all better. Just believe in Jesus and you won't have to worry. And that's your typical, you know, Sunday school answer. What these kids are going, I've tried that route.
Well, that's, I guess we could call that your typical Sunday school answer. But what that is your typical, hey, I don't have time to spend a lot of, time with you here.
You got it.
That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And
what is amazing?
We got to go to soccer practice.
Yep. What is amazing is these kids ask the questions and they're seeing if you're listening to them. Are you really listening? So they're going to ask a question, and you're going to go, did they really ask that?
You talk like these kids are pretty sharp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're leading you the whole time. Absolutely. I want to tell you one more.
Sure.
One little story about a young man, and this just happened. We do something called Midweek, and it's not a church. It's just a bunch of young people come together, and we meet over at a church in Caseyville called St. Peter's. We just borrow their basement. And the kids come together, and it's not happening. It's not exciting. It's not anything. These kids come from other churches that have their stuff together. They have youth groups that are enormous. They have dramas. They have music. They have all that stuff, and we have nothing. And the kids are still coming. And one night, a young man sat there, and he says, is it a sin to smoke? And I thought, wow, okay, now we're going to get on to health issues, etc., and then he said, well, Adam and Eve ate the fruit, and sometimes we put fruit in, like, brownies. And then all of a sudden it dawns on me what this kid is actually asking me. Is it a sin not just to smoke, but is it a sin to smoke marijuana? And because that's what they're calling it in his neighborhood, fruit. So they're going to smoke a little fruit, and okay. And so he says, Adam and Eve ate the fruit. So did Adam and Eve, was that marijuana that they were doing? And he starts to ask all these questions, and in a normal setting.
This is about the time that I'd give the Sunday school answer.
Oh, you got
it. And I'm out of here.
Yeah. So now, but see, that's exactly what he's looking for. He wants to know, are you willing to talk to me? Are you willing to take it to another level? And I got all these other kids sitting there. And I'm thinking, and this is high school age kids. And I'm thinking, do we go any farther? Do we stop it? Because basically the first thing I said to him was, well, you know, what you're talking about is illegal. And he says, yeah. In other words, so your point is, I still want to talk about this because I got a real deep question going on. So it wasn't whether it's legal or not. That's not the question he had. Here was his question. He says, I'll be honest with you, I smoke. I get high. And he says, and, you know, the next is the reaction would be, well, you got to get out of here because that's not what, you know, what we're about. And we're Christian and we don't do those things. And yeah.
You what?
Yeah, exactly. That's what he's waiting for.
You didn't do that?
Mm-mm. That's what he was waiting for because I knew there was something deeper with this young man. And what he finally said was, see, I get angry a lot and nothing helps. He says, I get angry, and I've done all the stuff that you said, pray about it, ask God to, you know, take this away from me. Nothing helps. And he says, so I started smoking, and when I get high, I'm happy. I'm
not
funny.
Angry.
Oh, exactly. The anger is all gone. And he says, it's really pretty awesome. And I said, oh, okay. So what happens the next day when the effects wear off? And he says, I said, are you angry again? Yeah. So what are you going to do about it? I'm going to get high again. Oh, okay. So in other words, you're going to keep masking it, and you're not going to really what is hurting you. And after our little encounter, we got to talk about, you know, whether, you know, this is illegal. This is, you know, we're not condoning anything. But afterwards, I had a chance to put my arm around this young man who, see, guys don't hug. Guys don't show affection where I'm at. Yeah, you got it. Well, shake hands. Or we'll thump each other on the, you know, on the chest, or, you know, high five or something like that. But you don't hug. I got to hug this young man. I says, you know, we need to talk. And he says, yeah, I really want to. That's where they're at. They're going to throw stuff at you that you're going to be shocked by. And what they're expecting from you is the typical get out of here. We don't talk about that.
You know, it's kind of, I think, interesting how those of us who are adults who have children, in my case, grown children.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow lose our sense of understanding so that young people who we know are bright, we know they're bright, we know that they're sharp,
mm-hmm.
they don't have to have a 33 on the ACT test to manipulate mm-hmm. us. We know that they're bright, and we were once their age.
Mm-hmm.
We did it to the adults when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that when we get older, we can get played by these kids so easily?
Mm-hmm.
And the way you described it, they find out what it is that we expect, and then they deliver that,
mm-hmm.
and then we leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
So how hard is it? How much time do you have to invest? And I'm not asking you for mm-hmm. minutes and hours here or days. I'm just, give me a quantification,
mm-hmm.
to work through those layers.
Mm-hmm.
My layers of, yeah, you know, I only got 10 minutes here, so get to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And their layer of, I know what it is you're looking for, I'm going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And in 10 minutes, we're going to part. And I'm and the kid's still got a bunch of questions about it, a bunch of issues. How much time do you have to invest, Pastor, before you get down to an open kid?
Mm-hmm. On the individual level, it takes a very, very long time. But
what do you mean on the individual level?
Okay, if I just meet a young person, they don't know me, I don't know them, it's going to be a long time. It might be months, years before they'll open up because they're going to test you. And they want to see, are you for real? Or are we going to get to a certain point and then you're going to tell me, oh, we don't talk about that. Or, you know, that's evil, you got to go away, or something like that. And that's what they're going to go very, very slowly because they've been hurt before.
Well, they don't trust us very much.
Exactly. Yes, because this
they
is what...
They should trust us, we're adults.
Right. But they have trusted adults, and they've had all of... they've had every single, not every single, but because again, broad stroking here, but they've had their questions minimalized and marginalized. Oh, when you grow up, you'll understand. No, I want to understand now. Walk me through this, and don't walk me through and tell me, when you're this age, you'll understand, or when you're this age, you'll realize, or whatever. No, no, no. I'm at this age right now. Walk with me all the way. And we have a tendency not to do that. So they don't trust you. So individually working one-on-one is going to take a very long time. And I don't want to say years or months, quantifying it, but it's a long time of letting them ask you stuff and realizing they're going to ask you something that you should technically, you know, call the police, you know, get them counseling, et cetera, and they're going to ask you those things just
to do that because you're a pastor.
I would do what? I would call the police?
No, you can talk to a young person.
Oh, okay.
You can gain their confidence,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. Well, see if I'm right or wrong,
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell you things in confidence that you can hold in confidence,
mm-hmm.
even if the police come knocking,
mm-hmm.
because you're a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the rest of us lay people can necessarily do that. If a young person were to confess something to me, I would be torn if it were troublesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be torn as to whether or not to retain the trust and the confidence of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to his parents and say,
mm-hmm.
your kid's in trouble,
mm-hmm.
needs help, you got to get involved.
Oh, there's, you're right.
Now, if I don't go to the parents and the kid crashes,
mm-hmm.
the parents may look at me someday and go, you knew,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't tell us.
Mm-hmm.
But if I tell the parents, the kid may come back to me and say, I trusted you,
mm-hmm.
and you went and talked to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I want to be in that position.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the slippery slope, and you're talking about, you know, when do you say something to the parents and when don't you? And one of the things, you have to understand what the kids are asking you. If they're telling you, all right, young person comes up and says, yeah, I'm having sex with so-and-so. Oh, I really don't think that's something you should be doing. And now we got to start talking about, you know, let's bring parents in here. What the kids are really doing is they're asking you more of the general, you know, what ifs, and just testing you to see what you're going to say. And most of the time they're telling you, oh, a friend of mine. You know, this is what a friend of mine is doing. And they're bringing you in closer and closer to, I'm going to expose my emotions and my frailties to you. That's what they're doing. Less about legalese, you know, legal things. What they're doing is they're saying, this is emotionally where I'm at, and this is how I'm handling it. What do you think? I need somebody to talk with me and walk with me. Here's the difference is sometimes they'll go to their friends and their friends will say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. What are they actually looking for? They're actually looking for the truth. And they want to know the truth. They want to know that you're going to tell them the truth, even if it should hurt their feelings. Because they're not looking for you to approve. They're actually looking for the truth.
It seems to me that if you are a pastor, if you have that calling, if you occupy that office,
mm-hmm.
then there is some protection, certainly not impervious protection,
mm-hmm.
but some protection, so that if you decide not to share with a kid's parents what that kid has told you,
mm-hmm.
and the parents come to you and say, you knew this and you didn't tell us,
mm-hmm.
you're in a position at least to say, look, what's between me and Billy here,
mm-hmm.
that's private.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm his pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to me in confidence, and I'm telling you right now, I will never violate that
mm-hmm.
confidence. You can say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that that I could say that, not having the power of that office.
But see, what they are looking for you to do is to tell them the truth. This is something you need to discuss with your parents. This is you, Chuck. You're talking to some of these kids, and they're starting to tell you things, and you're going, look, I got to tell you the truth. You got to be discussing this with your parents. You got to be talking to them about this. And
are you kidding?
Exactly.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, but see,
my parents.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your advice, we're done now.
Yeah, and that's fine. Oh, absolutely. Oh, I had one young man that just absolutely was so mad at me because, you know, I'm telling him the truth, and he's into all kinds of things he shouldn't be into. And he's young. He's in high school. I already knew his parents, and I was working with him. He got so mad at me, he wouldn't talk to me. And basically, for years, just shut me out. And here is the truth. I told him the truth. Years later, he finds out, yeah, what I was telling him was right. You know, we now have a relationship. He now calls me. He now got the word out through the community, through friends and my daughters, that he wanted to get back in touch. And I've gotten in touch with him, and we're actually, I mean, he has even said, thank you. Thank you for not caving in.
A couple of minutes here before we get to the bottom of the hour. Some churches have youth pastors or directors of Christian education, and it's their job to work with these young people. Knowing what you know, what advice would you give a guy who's just become a youth pastor at his church or just become a director of Christian education, charged primarily with dealing with the middle school kids, the high school kids?
Here's the advice. The world can do every single thing that you want to do. It can do it better. If you want to do a movie night, the world has bigger theaters than you have. If you want to do a game night, they can go to Dave and Buster's. They can go to all kinds of places where video games, and they have better games than you have. And if you're trying to take them to events, concerts, etc., and you think that's what youth group is all about, the world can do it so much better than you can. And you're competing in the wrong area. Where the world cannot compete, that is family. Family and bringing these young people in into a family. And then telling them the truth and giving them a place where they can come with their questions and get honest answers. And no one's going to sit there and say, oh, you can't talk about that. That's what these kids are looking for.
You find that practice that you just described there to be the exception or the rule in the typical church/youth group setting?
The typical rule that I have seen, not all, please don't call in and say, hey, we have a different youth group, but mainly I found them to be entertaining. One youth group, I saw a post and it said something about, what is that, the Great Race or something, where they go around the world?
Yeah.
They were doing that on a city level, and I thought, you're basically taking what the world is doing and saying, this is good, let's go ahead and entertain you by doing
some
that.
Fun.
Yeah.
Wrong with some fun.
Oh, no, nothing wrong with having some fun, but it's when that's all that we are doing is, wow.
When we come back on the other side of the break, I've got a video here that we want to listen to. Obviously, we won't be able to show it, but I think it'll translate on the radio. We want to do that, and Pastor Wilkin will explain that to us. But before we do that, one more question on the youth group setting here. And we'll ask it on the other side of the break.
Okay.
You're listening to the Bible Study. Pastor Randy Wilkin is with us here today. He's affiliated with the Acts 1-8 Mission Society and The Rock, a church down on Kings Highway, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back.
The Lutheran Study Bible is the first and only study Bible in English prepared entirely from the ground up by Lutherans, offering a uniquely keen focus on the proper distinction between law and gospel, shining a brilliant light on the heart and center of the Scriptures, Christ and Him crucified, risen, and ascended for your salvation. The Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House is all about Jesus in every way for you. With over 26,500 notes, the Lutheran Study Bible has more than any other study Bible available today. These include historic Lutheran cross-references and notes dating back to the Luther Bible of 1534. It has over 31,000 concordance entries, over 880 references linked to the 36 custom-designed maps, 220 thematic articles, and 120 diagrams and charts prepared exclusively for this Bible. The Lutheran Study Bible, the English Standard Version, with study material built entirely by Lutherans to help you correctly handle the Word of God. Visit cph.org.
Is the mammoth making a comeback? Find out next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment host, Ian Taylor.
Will the mammoth walk the earth again? At one time, herds of these giant creatures, which stand 10 to 12 feet tall at the shoulder, covered North America, Europe, Asia, and Africa. In late 1999, Russian and American scientists excavated a buried frozen mammoth in northern Siberia. Once excavated, the mammoth was airlifted using Russia's largest helicopter to a Siberian ice cave, which was fashioned into a laboratory. There, the frozen mammoth was studied to see if either sperm or DNA can be extracted from it. This is not as fantastic as it sounds. A mammoth calf that was found in 1977 was found to have intact red blood vessels. In 1978, DNA was first extracted from another mammoth. Researchers hope that they can extract intact sperm from the male that they are now studying and use it to fertilize an elephant's egg. The result would be half mammoth and half elephant. If scientists can extract intact DNA, another possibility opens up. The DNA can be inserted in an emptied elephant egg and induce it to divide. The result of this procedure would be pure mammoth of the Mammuthus species, one of the 6 or 7 known species. Scientists are able to use elephants in this work because there is only a 5% genetic difference between the two creatures. If mammoths again walk among us, these huge creatures will glorify the God who originally created them.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, visit our website at creationmoments.com. Or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Hi, I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. What sort of job qualifications are necessary for someone to be called in charge? Let's turn to the letter to the Hebrews and hear some of Jesus' qualifications. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. We'll discuss Jesus is the one who is really in charge this week on In His Steps.
Saturday at noon with Pastor Doug Nicely on AM 850 KFUO.
Underwriting on AM 850 KFUO provided by Reliable Heating and Cooling. Christian people who understand the value of bringing you God's Word on the radio. The folks at Reliable also know how important it is to have your furnace checked before winter. An inefficient or deteriorating heat exchanger costs you needless expense and could be dangerous. A preseason inspection from Reliable is convenient, affordable, and gives you peace of mind. Reliable Heating and Cooling, supporting the broadcast ministry of AM 850, KFUO.
You're listening to the Bible Study. I'm Chuck Rathert. And our guest today is Pastor Randy Wilkin. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're increasingly aware of people who are listening to us around the country, even around the world. I know around the country that 800 number will work. I don't know if it works all the way around the world, but you can call us if you're listening to us in California or Nebraska or New York or Florida. You can call us. It won't cost you a thing. 1-800-730-2727. All right, one more question here before we talk about this video. And that is, there may be somebody listening to us who is a youth pastor or is a director of Christian education, and it's their job to do ministry to the youth. And they know what pizza night is. They know what bowling night is. You know, they know what game night is. And they're used to putting things in the bulletin about, here's the next cool thing that's going to be happening. But may not even really be aware. I know they're not totally unaware.
Mm-hmm.
But may not be aware that this reality which you've described is present.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it might be possible, shock of shock, that you could sit down with the kids, the young people, let them talk. Put them either individually or corporately into an otherwise kind of a safe environment where they could open up. And you might really get to do some kingdom type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't have, you know, that doesn't look like game night and pizza night and movie night.
Mm-hmm.
But that person doesn't know where to even start. I mean, you know, right now that all they know is the church secretary is asking mm-hmm. for their monthly mm-hmm. newsletter stuff. You know, what are the kids doing in November? We got to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're doing that. They're kind of on that treadmill. They
mm-hmm.
don't even know how to get off.
Mm-hmm.
and do some of these things that you're describing. Have you got some advice?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that that I found is if you go into a church and they're already used to doing, you know, game night and pizza night, etc., and you go in and you try and change it, it's, I'm sorry, I came for pizza, not for what you're going to do. What we've done is, and we're taking this around the country right now.
Who's we?
Our mission society. Okay. And as a matter of fact, Brock and myself.
Taking it to the streets, huh?
Yep, you got it. We have been bringing, I mentioned earlier, people have been coming to St. Louis and working with us. What we're doing now is we are actually going to them. And it's mainly, not mainly, a lot of them are smaller churches. Some are medium-sized, 1,200 members, and some are very small churches of 800 people in the town. And we go out there, and what we have been doing with them is, okay, we're going to take this servant project idea to you because they've already come to us. And what we do is we go out there, and we do a servant project. Then we do a lock-in, or as they're calling it, a Brock-in, because of Brock. And he's a cool guy, and not me.
Brock's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy. And so what we do is we do this Brock-in. And we sit with the people, with the young people, and they come and they stay in the church. Now, they worked all day. They're kind of tired. And then at night, we get to roll right into, what did you see today? What actually transpired? You know, did you meet some people? What happened? What did you observe with somebody that acted real grouchy towards you? Why do you think it was happening? And we get into conversation. There's no set pattern. We'll talk about any topic. And what is amazing is you can take any of the topics, and what starts to happen is you're reading into what they're really asking, and the next thing you know, it's 11, 12 o'clock at night, and they're just absolutely riveted, not with you lecturing. They're riveted because everybody else in the room is saying the same thing, and they're all going, yeah, I got the same question. Because the reality is all of them. And I'm thinking back to when I was a kid. I didn't want to be the odd person out asking a stupid question. And everybody go, oh man, we all knew that. What are you asking? And what you're doing is giving all the kids the authority to actually ask a stupid question, which isn't really stupid. Once they start to ask and they realize it wasn't dumb, the floodgates open. That's what we do, and set them in a totally different environment, which is we're able to do that, but the DCE and the, you know, church people really aren't able to do it because they're so used to, you know, what you do, your pattern, et cetera, and what we're doing is just kind of breaking the pattern a little bit.
You know, if you're a baseball player, if you're a hitter,
yep,
and you fail 7 out of 10 times, you're considered to be really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your failure rate on this? If you set up all this stuff and arrange a Brock in and you take it to the streets and you go around the country and you fail 7 out of 10 times to reach this place that you're talking about, that doesn't sound too encouraging to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been failing for years, just trying something and it doesn't work. And here's what happened. It wasn't us deciding we're going to do it. It was a group from Nebraska that came out and they encouraged us to come back. And we says, what if we did a little lock in there? Just, yes, let's do it. So then we go to Oklahoma and we're just going to go just to meet the congregation, get to know them, et cetera. And we started this in Oklahoma. And it was so amazing.
Sound like you're going out with no bag, no sandals.
Yep, you got it. You betcha. We have no idea what we're doing. And the honest truth is, yeah, I know.
I don't know if you want to just quite say it that way, Pastor, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, well, yeah, I get in trouble when I do that, and people go, oh, yes, you do. No, we're following you. No, you're not following me. We're all following God, and he's leading. We get out to Oklahoma. I didn't know that, and I said, why don't we do this on Friday night? We're going to get in Friday afternoon. We'll meet with whoever wants to meet with us. And then Friday night, we'll have this Brock in. And then Saturday, we'll do a servant project. Saturday night, have everybody, you know, stay there. Sunday, we're going to meet. I'm going to preach to the congregation. And Sunday afternoon, we'll do another servant project. And at the end, the DCE that was out there said to me, she said, we normally don't ever do something on a Friday and a Saturday in Oklahoma in the fall. You know why?
Football.
Oh, you betcha. We went by a football stadium, and I thought it was a college stadium. It was
for the
high school.
Yeah.
That is so unbelievably that they venerate. You know, that's it. Football, and on the radio, that's all they talk about, and they're talking high school.
Yep.
like they're talking about college. And she said, we never get anybody to show up on a Friday or a Saturday. We had all the kids. It was amazing. And Oklahoma State was playing, and one of the elders is Oklahoma State, you know, alumni and big fan, and he took his son, and he comes up to me on Sunday, and he says, it was amazing. My son at 11 o'clock at night says, Dad, drop me off at the church. And he says, why? No, 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 I got to be there. I want to go to the church. And it's not because of us in particular. It's that this is what I want to be experiencing. This is church. We worshiped. We worshiped without the organ. We worshiped without a sermon. We worshiped without all kinds of stuff. And the kids were there, and they just flocked in. And I told the DCE, I didn't expect this. And she said, neither did I.
All right, tell me about this video you put on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Involves a secular comedian.
Yep.
So that just makes me nervous right there.
You betcha.
What's this all about?
This is somebody had posted it, and I saw it and just was, wow, I was blown away. And this is Steve Harvey. And Steve Harvey isn't exactly the cleanest comedian out there, but he's not the worst. And I have a feeling, if when you listen to this, I have a feeling that Steve Harvey was doing this more as a parody, you know, this is how, you know, church preachers sound, and this is how, you know, this is what they would do, etc. And he gets on, and at the beginning he just says, you know, what would you do if you were going to introduce Jesus? And what came of it, I don't think, and I could be wrong, but this is just my perception by every single thing that you see that Paul does, or Steve rather, not Paul Harvey. That's different, totally different guy.
He's not with us anymore.
Yes, exactly.
That would be a miracle.
Yep, but every single thing that Steve does, at the end, he's speechless. And I have a feeling he wanted to go on and kind of become Jesus, like come out like Jesus. You know, I just was introduced for a comedic effect. What happens at the end? He's speechless. And he just raises his hand.
Is the language okay in this video?
Oh, absolutely. There is nothing in there. I've listened to it so many times to make sure. No, it's excellent.
All right, let's listen to it. It takes a little over 3 minutes.
If I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ, this is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way you do it. You might not think it's just right, but this is how I would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He has out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Get up on your feet. Put your hands together. And show your love for the second. arriving of the one and only. God has been good.
Now, if you could have seen the video, you would see a couple of things here. One is this is a large venue. This is not just a cozy little theater in the round. This is a large venue, and there appear to be thousands of people there. It is a very secular venue, as you were describing before. Every time we try to do something with the youth and we try to pattern it after the world, we always finish in second place. So this is what appears to be a fairly worldly setting. And I'm not sure what it is that Steve Harvey was exactly trying to accomplish there, but he is a secular comedian in a secular setting, and it doesn't follow. What's in that video doesn't make sense in its context.
Yep.
It leads me to think that either he was setting up a routine, and he was going to do comedy, and decided, whoops, better not start making fun, because these people seem to be on board with the... Now, he's not a preacher. He sounded like a preacher, but he's a comedian.
Yep, exactly.
Or he just had one of those moments where he thought he was going to do one thing, and he wound up doing something else.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was. You know, he gets up there. And I really do think, because, you know, to set up the whole video, they show the piano player with the church lady hat, et cetera, and, you know, playing the music that, you know, most Baptist churches have,
et cetera. It's a guy over there playing a keyboard, but he's got this goofy hat on, so it appears that there's some mockery on the way.
Right. That's exactly it. And as it starts to go, and I have a feeling he thought people would be laughing, and what they started to do, because at the end he says, get up on your feet, they're already there.
Yeah.
And then he tosses his mic down, you know, and walks off and then comes back. And I have a feeling that second time was he was supposed to be Jesus, you know, coming. And
yeah, they turn the lights down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I get the impression that he introduced this next character. This is the way I would introduce it, and then...
And it didn't happen that way.
It didn't work out that way.
He walks off just as... All right, he walks off, and the thing that really hit me was, you know, when you preach and you want to share something about this awesome Jesus, you are so, how do you want to say, humbled? It's not you doing it. It's God working through you, and he can work through a secular comedian. He can do all this stuff. God is one unbelievably powerful God, and the reason why I wanted to bring this up is not that's what we need to be doing with our kids, what Steve Harvey did, and we're going to make it dynamic, and there's thousands of people there. No, it's that God works through you, and when you ask, how do you do this stuff, and you fail so many times, and God keeps you going. And when you are done, and I just want to share this, last night I went to our midweek and I had no energy. I had such an unbelievable headache because of the storm coming, and it just wiped me out. And I got there and I really didn't want to be there, and the kids started to show up, and the next thing you know, we're talking about all this awesome stuff and they're filling me. I get there at 6 o'clock, and it's 9 o'clock, and they don't want to leave, but parents are outside saying, we're here to pick up our kids, come on out. They don't want to go, and neither do I. That's how I feel. So unbelievably wiped out, and what Steve Harvey says at the end, he says, God has been good. That's where I'm at. This God has been so unbelievably awesome, and I don't think everybody needs to preach like Steve Harvey, or we don't need church services like Steve Harvey, and, you know, that's not the point. It's that God is good. He is going to work through us, even when we don't know it, even when we're not aware of it. And it is, that's the miraculous stuff.
First time you saw this video.
Oh, yeah.
When you don't know what to expect.
Uh-huh.
I kind of knew what to expect. As a matter of fact, on your Facebook page, you write, Steve Harvey, secular comedian, in front of a secular audience, posing the question, how would you introduce God? His mm-hmm. response is amazing. So I'm kind of prepped for it when mm-hmm. when I see it.
Yeah.
But you didn't have that.
Uh-uh.
So what, the first time you saw it, what was going through your mind here?
I was expecting...
mockery?
Yes, that's exactly it. I was expecting something humorous, but okay. And when I saw this, I'm waiting for, you know, him to turn. I'm waiting for him, okay, yeah, you know, this is you Christians out there, and you think you're all this, and look, I can get everybody riled up just like everybody else. That's what I was waiting for, you know, the hook at the end. And when I saw him walk off, it's how I feel after being with these young people. That's how I feel after preaching at a church. That's how I'm going to feel tonight after sharing with the LWML in Good Shepherd, Collinsville. That's a plug, by the way.
What time is that going to happen?
I think it's at 7. I'm getting there at 6:30, so, you know, to get set up and stuff. So I think it's at 7. But that's how I feel, and it's not my feelings. It's more of I am so empty, and God just absolutely fills you up.
See, the thing that's stimulating about this mm-hmm. discussion that we're having here is the reality of the reversal,
mm-hmm.
the reality of whether you're just wiped out and you're just not looking forward to going to church and being with the young people mm-hmm. or whatever, and then you find yourself at 9 o'clock. Where did all this energy come from?
Yep.
How did something that I expect to be so yep. useless and so
yep.
turn out to be something that now I don't even want to quit? Or in the case of Steve Harvey, and, you know, we're presuming here. Why don't
Right.
you email Steve Harvey or write him a letter or something and ask him what was going on there? Because I agree with you, while it is a presumption,
Right.
that the comedian was about to do some comedy,
mm-hmm.
and after he did the setup... Mm-hmm. decided that the comedy was not going to work very well
mm-hmm.
because everybody seemed to be more an admirer of Jesus
mm-hmm.
rather than a despiser of Jesus. So he left the stage.
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, and mm-hmm. it's a presumption, then that video is evidence of quite a stunning reversal.
Yep.
And we've asked the question, how does a youth pastor or a director of Christian education reverse the usual stuff
Mm-hmm.
of youth group? Or a pastor listening to us right now is thinking, you know, I'm in a rut. Every year I do the same thing. Every year, same readings. Every year, same this. And I'm not saying that those are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But if it gets to be kind of a mindless rut, that is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to reverse it. They want a surprise. They want to experience what you experience. They want to go into something thinking that this is the way it's going to be
mm-hmm.
and come out walking on air because there was a reversal like
mm-hmm.
this. Is there a formula for that, Pastor?
Oh, absolutely. You know what it is? It's called, all right, God, I don't know what I'm doing. You got to lead me. You have to do it. You have to work through me. I've tried every single thing that I possibly can. You show me what to do.
And that works. Doesn't sound like a very good plan to me.
I always hesitate, you know.
You know,
basically,
there are a lot of Christians running out there who still thinks God helps those who helps themselves is in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you say a formula, it's like, no, there is no real formula. In other words, all right, here's what Scripture says for us to do. And for years growing up, I had always heard the preacher, you know, preaching about, we need to take care of the poor, the lowly, the humble, etc. And then people will take that, and all of a sudden we have the secular, you know, world saying, well, yeah, that's why we have social programs. No. That's not what he's talking about, but let's get back to what the Scripture says, and let's do what God tells us to do. I don't see anywhere where he says, you know, pay attention to your constitution and bylaws, because those trump Scripture. I don't see it. What I do see is God just saying, all right, take care of these little ones. And I don't mean little children. I'm talking about new to the faith. You take care of them. Set every single other thing aside, and you take care of them. And if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of the rest. This is what I give you to do. Just tell people about my son, Jesus. That's what I give you to do. Now, I will take care of the rest. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to be entertaining, and you don't have to worry about whether you're going to be on fire. You don't have to worry about whether I'm going to have a big congregation or not, because some he has given to be pastors of small little congregations. Some he's given to be pastors of large congregations. Now, be content in where I put you. And it's the contentness and the humbleness and just asking God, you lead this. And, yeah, and it's not a formula. It's truly, I think I heard it on my way in on with you talking to the other pastor, Dieterding.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and talking about humbleness, being humbled.
And well, humbleness, humility.
Yep.
Means one thing to the active doer, God, get out of my way, I'm trying to get this finished person. And another thing to the person that you're describing, who I think is probably the rare exception.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're suggesting that there are situations which those of us, particularly adults, who have responsibilities at home, who have responsibilities in marriage, who have responsibilities with children, who have responsibilities with job, and we know that to just sort of lollygag and do nothing is irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
But you're describing a circumstance where it is actually productive and godly to say, you know what, God? I'm just going to stop. Like Charlton Heston says, stand still and see the mighty arm of the Lord, or whatever it is he says.
Yeah.
And God, I have learned this, not very often because I'm not very good at it. You get out of the way and say, okay, God, there it is. And he actually gets in there and makes stuff happen.
Yep. Yep.
And he never says, you irresponsible Christian. I think it's a delight to him if you'll just get out of the way once in a while.
Okay. It says, be still and know that I'm God. And another translation is, stop it. Stop being God. Just be still. Yeah. I'm God. Let me do it. And what you just said, when we do that, I was able to show some young people God's hand in what he is doing, and it was amazing because he promises to do that, and he does. And it's not the miraculous that everybody, you know, changing water into wine, but he does change our hearts, and he changes other people's hearts.
It's not eye-popping very often, but after it's done, take your breath away.
Oh, absolutely.
Pastor Kirk Clayton will be here tomorrow for Luke 16, verses 14 through 31. Thank you, Pastor Randy Wilkins.
Thank you.
Listen to Chuck Ratherton and guests Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the Internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of The Bible Study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.